Morning, everyone. Before I begin, I want to just have a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are the good shepherd that shepherds our hearts, our souls, our minds. Lord, you are the one that gives us life, creator of the universe. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to what you would have us glean from these verses, and we just give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning I'll be speaking about Luke 4:31-37. So I'm going to briefly read this. And the context of this verse is what just pretty past what Fred was just speaking about, where Jesus was in Nazareth and didn't have a very good reception. And this is almost a complete 180 here, these verses as they'll fill. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, and saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. So, as you can see from those verses, this wasn't very much past where Jesus had made his way around the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, which is a town on the north side of Galilee, approximately 3 miles west of the Jordan, and it's kind of a center for fishing industry. It was a gathering place, and then most of these larger population areas, there was a synagogue similar to probably on a larger scale than what was in Nazareth. And the people there worshipped and received instruction. And anyone could speak as long as they asked the leaders of the synagogue for permission. So Jesus, as was custom, as we learned in the previous verses, went up to speak. And people were astonished at his doctrine. It was as Mark 1:21-28 talks, it's a these same verses, and it's real similar, except for a few adjectives are changed, but it talks about him having more authority than the scribes, not as the scribes or Pharisees. And I'm guessing that the scribes were filling their speaking of doctrine with traditions and whatnot. And many of us have heard that the truth has a certain ring to it. It's kind of a common saying, and I think what was happening here was that Jesus being the good shepherd, his words with authority and truth, people's ears were open, literally. I think in Isaiah it talks about people's ears being shut up. Well, here people's ears were open suddenly, and they were hearing, and they were amazed, even before any of these events that took place with this unclean spirit, the word is before he even got to Capernaum, his fame had gone out and people were hearing that he spoke with power and authority. Anyways, the next event that takes place is this confrontation. This man probably stood up. It doesn't say who he is or if he was one of the leaders of the synagogue, but he's possessed by an unclean spirit, which in many of the commentaries that I looked at, talks about a malignant supernatural beings able to harm and possess people, a morally impure entity or part of the legions of darkness in the kingdom of Satan. And immediately the spirit asks two questions. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" And the spirits identified him instantly. They were concerned. "Are you come to destroy us?" In other words, these spirits know that who Jesus really is, and they identify him immediately, the Holy One of God. And in contrast, many of the disciples didn't even see Jesus for who he truly was at this point. As we saw in Nazareth, this is the son of Mary and Joseph, you know, and all of a sudden this demonic power specifically says, this is the Holy One of God. And maybe some of the disciples heard this for later when Peter is asked, he specifically gives the testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. Anyways, before this demonic spirit is making a big ruckus and trying to distract Jesus. And this is the first common confrontation with demonic powers after he comes from the temptation in the wilderness. And Jesus rebukes him, and immediately the spirit is shut up and cast out, and he shrieks, but he doesn't hurt the person. And this is a demonstration of Jesus' power over. He's given absolute authority over principalities and powers, over the kingdoms of darkness. And immediately the fame of this is spread throughout the land and finishes. So everyone must have been murmuring, guessing that this isn't something that happened every week in the synagogue, a big demonstration. And it was pretty dramatic, you know, this confrontation. People were amazed at, what is this new doctrine? And that word amazed kind of refers to a people joyous but fearful at the same time. You know, they knew that things were about to change in a dramatic way. They could sense it. So in the conclusions that I kind of drew from this confrontation was that, you know, here Jesus is the antidote only. He's the only cure for an unclean spirit and many other in the kingdoms of darkness. You know, there's no pill or medicine devised by man that's going to rescue someone from the clutches of a demonic spirit or an unclean spirit. You can't just ask for a script. It might, you know, every day I read articles in the newspapers and whatnot of people claiming, you know, demonic forces, you know, wanted me to do these killings, or you know, they'll read about it, which isn't much reported, is many of the people were on different drugs and psychotropics, and then they go do these mass murders, and it's almost like they felt like they weren't in control. And basically, when I look at these things going around in our culture, I think these unclean spirits are having a field day with our country and the world. You don't have to look to the Middle East and see what's going on there with unclean demonic spirits. And Jesus is the only cure for this. There's no name given under heaven where man may be saved. And I started thinking about this. In the Old Testament, there were examples of when people were grumbling in the book of Numbers, and they were complaining about God and Moses. The only cure for them was when Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, and they were cured by faith, by looking at this, which was a foreshadowing of Jesus on the cross. So today we're in the same exact place. The only cure for an unclean spirit or anything else that ails us spiritually is to look at the cross, Jesus at Calvary, and recognize that he has true authority and power over all the kingdoms of darkness and principalities. He is the only way of salvation. As the Bible says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he came and confronted all these things for our sake, to be our friend, to be the one that leads us out of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen.